seated. Our gospel lesson this morning is Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36 and reading through the end of the chapter. Luke, led by God's Spirit, who pours out the love of God into our hearts, wrote these amazing words of forgiveness and love. Luke 7, beginning in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and another 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Yet you gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Lord Jesus, we know that there are forces at work that would want to keep us from you. Grant us the victory of your life-giving Spirit to be like the woman who was determined to come to you no matter what other voices were murmuring. Grant us to be like her and receive your forgiveness and show great love because of your great love for us. To the glory of God our Father, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, before we come to Jesus at this table before us this morning, we go with him by faith to another table, the table of a Pharisee named Simon, not to be confused with Simon Peter or a lot of other Simons in the New Testament. This Simon was a Pharisee. Now, Simon has not invited us there any more than he had probably invited the woman whom he called a sinner. But like her, we go by faith. Like her, we barge in by faith into Simon's house. Because like her, we know we need Jesus. We want to hear his pardoning voice. We want to be in his presence. We want to receive his grace. We want to show him our love for him, no matter how it may pale in comparison to his love for us. So first, it is at that table, Simon's table, that we take a seat, or we recline, and we watch, and we listen. And by grace, we learn a foundational kingdom lesson. Those who know that they are forgiven much, those who experience forgiveness, know it deep down. Jesus' forgiveness. They love much out of a heart of gratitude for Jesus. So let's consider that principle under those two headings. First, in the first place, the woman who made her way to Jesus in the house of Simon the Pharisee knew that she was forgiven much. She knew that she was forgiven much. Sometimes this particular woman is identified as Mary of Bethany, who anointed Jesus in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John 12. But given the differences between this passage and those, it's very likely this is not Mary of Bethany. And sometimes this woman is identified as Mary Magdalene. But there is nothing in the scriptures themselves that tell us that this was Mary Magdalene, though it could have been Mary Magdalene. What is known about this woman is that she had a reputation for being a sinner. I was watching some football yesterday, Carolina football, and you know which Carolina I'm talking about. And there were ads several times during this football game, maybe you've seen them, for Reputation Defender. ReputationDefender.com, to clear up your online reputation. Well, this was before the days of Reputation Defender. She had a reputation for being a sinner. For being a sinner. You say, well, aren't we all sinners? And shouldn't everybody just know that? Well, she was a notorious sinner in the eyes of the Pharisees and the other Jewish leadership. Traditionally, she has been understood to have been a prostitute or one who was known to be sexually promiscuous. But this notorious sinner had learned about Jesus. Luke does not tell us when or where she learned about Jesus. He does tell us that when she had first, he does not tell us when she had first heard him preach the good news. What was the good news he preached? That he had come to set at liberty the oppressed. But at a certain point, she had heard him, and she had come to faith in him. She had believed in him that he was willing and able to forgive all her sins. Everything about him had not been revealed yet. He had not made his way to the cross and died for our sins and been raised on the third day and ascended to the Father and poured out the Spirit. But she knew enough to know that this was the Messiah. This was her Savior. And she believed in him. Wasn't that wonderful what Dennis read from Psalm 32? Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Could be translated happy. She was happy. Tears, yes, of repentance, but you have to think tears of joy as well. Because of the grace of God to her, she fulfilled Psalm 32 and verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, O Lord. I acknowledged it. and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Should have been the Pharisees leading in that, but that's okay. We have other examples. A sinner, a sinful woman, a notoriously sinful woman. She had trusted in Jesus as her Savior. She knew she couldn't save herself. I mean, that's the thing when you come to see that you're a sinner and the seriousness of your sin. I mean, you know salvation is not by works. You can't do it. She saw she couldn't do it. So she trusted in another to save her. She trusted in Jesus. She believed in him, that he was willing and able to forgive her, to save her. In Jesus, she came to know herself, and she came to know God. Blaise Pascal said, only in Jesus can you know God, and only in Jesus can you know yourself. She came to know herself. She came to know God. She came to know God's love through Jesus. So now at Simon the Pharisee's house, she came to show her love for Jesus, her gratitude to Jesus in this most remarkable way and to the Pharisees, offensive way. But before we get to that, the question should be asked, why did Simon invite Jesus into his house? Why did this Pharisee invite Jesus into his house? It doesn't appear that Simon had the faith of the woman in our passage. Perhaps he was curious, as a Pharisee named Nicodemus had been curious. Perhaps he, like so many of his fellow Pharisees, on the other hand, was trying to trap Jesus, to lay for him a theological or ethical trap to make his case that Jesus was, as others were saying, a blasphemer worthy of execution. Whatever his precise motive, Jesus was there. And when the woman who had already believed in him heard that he was there, she made her way to Jesus. This was remarkable faith indeed. It reminds me of the man whose friends brought him to the house. They couldn't get in the house, so they lowered him down through the roof to get to Jesus, to get their paralytic friend to Jesus that he might heal him. Or blind Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What did they say? Tell him to do? They told him to be quiet. He cried out all the more, Jesus, thou son of David. Yes, he said it in King James. Yes. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, when somebody knows they need Jesus, they're not going to let anything or anyone keep them away from Jesus. So she went into a place where she knew there would be looks of accusation and shame, shunning. People looking at her, people looking away from her. And voices that would harp on her former life and identity. She knew that there would be condemnation in that house. But not from her Jesus. For as Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. She was in the house of one who condemned her. But she didn't care, for by faith, she was in Christ Jesus. Remember that, Christian. Wherever you go, no matter what comes your way, you are in Christ Jesus. She was in Christ Jesus, freed from the penalty and power of sin, free from her former life. She was a new creation in Jesus, and it showed. Jesus did not condemn her. Instead, he assured her that she was forgiven, in a way similar to our assurance of pardon earlier in our service. We come here each week as Christians forgiven, but we need to hear and be assured of that pardon, because other voices want us to forget it. So we need to hear that assurance of absolution, that assurance of pardon. That's what we see in verses 48 through 50, when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." That was an assurance of pardon. She was already forgiven, but he assured her, for her to hear and for everybody else to hear too, that she was forgiven. We must understand that Jesus did not forgive this woman because she loved him. She didn't earn his forgiveness by her love for him. Instead, she loved him because he forgave her. He said to her in verse 50, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has united you inseparably to me, and thus you are saved. You have the salvation that I'm bringing about in my flesh." And that takes us to our second point. This saintly woman teaches us that those who know they are forgiven much, love much. When Jesus allowed this woman to touch him, wet his feet, those feet that were going to be pierced for her and for you, wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair and kiss him repeatedly and anoint his feet with expensive ointment, Simon thought he had caught Jesus. He thought, "Oh, I've got you now." If you were really a prophet sent from God, you would know the reputation of this woman. You would know what kind of woman she is. But you know, Jesus not only knew this woman, her past, and her heart, and her faith, he also knew Simon. Simon didn't think about that, did he? He knew Simon. He knew his thoughts. To Jesus, all hearts are open, all desires known, and from him no secrets are hid. So Jesus used this occasion to teach Simon about grace. Do you see the grace that abounds from Jesus? Simon was seeking to trap Jesus. But Jesus came to seek and to save, that is, to set free sinners. Notorious sinners, worldly sinners, and religious hypocrites alike. So he preached grace to Simon. He shared the parable of the two debtors with Simon. One owed 500 days' wages, the other 50 days' wages. The lender canceled the debt of both, as Simon admitted, perhaps reluctantly, the one who was forgiven the greater debt would have loved the lender more. In the same way, the woman loved Jesus more than Simon, if Simon loved him at all, because she knew herself to be forgiven of all her sins by Jesus. I mean, let's say you had, somehow or another, you got into $10 million of debt. And Tim Ball came along. Moneybags Ball came along. And he said, I'm going to pay off all your debt. You're going to really love Tim Ball. Big time. I mean, we already love Tim Ball, but you would really love Tim Ball. Of course, in Christ, Tim Ball then says, I'm going to give you an infinite amount of money, millions upon millions upon millions. That's the righteousness of Christ. But here we're just talking about the cancellation of the debt. So she loved Jesus because he had canceled her debt of sin. She loved him. So she showed her love for him. Simon had been rude. No water to wash Jesus' feet. No welcoming kiss. No anointing of the head. Simon was rude, cold, and stingy. The woman, on the other hand, was humble, warm, and profuse in her love for Jesus. May we follow in her footsteps. May we who have been forgiven much show much love for Jesus and for others in his precious name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.